Joe Connor, our friend here, and he has a new book out. And the book is The New Founders. You can find out more about it at thenewfounders.net. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Very good, Dennis. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Okay, sure. Tell us about your new book. You've got a co-author, Mike Duncan. When did you guys meet? Back in Novo when you were in the Howard Porter fan club, I assume.
It was with the Gary McLean fan club.
Nice. The perfect game.
We were freshmen when they won the NCAAs.
Are you kidding me? You're spoiled for life. You were spoiled for life.
We were. We thought they'd win it every year.
Eddie.
Close again senior year, but...
who was the old cat that Raleigh kept... Raleigh always paid homage to. They had that older cat. He was very sweet.
Jake Nevin.
Yeah, Jake.
And he died while we were at school.
Imagine getting to see that, though.
It was cool. I mean, yeah, like you said, we thought it was going to happen every year. So, we had a good time while it lasted.
Let's talk about the book. You and Mike meet at Nova, and you stayed friends. Well, explain the concept of The New Founders.
Well, I had the idea, actually. I had the idea for a movie that people were talking today, like, what would happen if the founders came back? What would they do with our country right now? What would they say? And there's some books about it, but they're kind of clinical. I decided, and, you know, I had this idea. And I thought of it as a movie. What if we brought them back but made it fiction? What if we made them real people? What if we kind of made them, you know, we created a Washington. Washington is Washington in the book. And the other founders like Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton, Adams, Franklin, they're all like living embodiments of the original founders. They don't know who they are until they're brought together in Philadelphia and at 4th of July weekend. And they meet who they think is a reenactor with really bad teeth and smells funny, but he turns out to be the real George Washington, and divine providence has brought him back and brought these guys together, and they're like, you know, they're having this moral crisis, like James Madison, I'm not James Madison, you know, I'm just a school teacher from Virginia, and, you know, the Jefferson guy, he's, you know, he's a big history buff, and he speaks French, and he has a lot of the mannerisms of Jefferson, but he has no idea that he is the reincarnate of them. A couple of the guys, like the Hamilton and the Adams guys, are they kind of, yeah, that's pretty cool. I could be Hamilton. I could be Adams. They're not against it. But so they go through a bit of a moral crisis with Washington, but he convinces them. Divine Providence has brought him back. They have something to do. They're not quite sure at first what it is, but they go from Philadelphia to D.C., to kind of figure it out.
Joey, this is beautiful. It's like the Avengers in knee-high socks.
The original idea was a movie, and Mike was writing a screenplay at the time, and I don't know how to write a screenplay. Geez, I could barely write my name, but, you know, I went to Mike, and we came, you know, kind of worked it out together, and we wrote it for 6 months. We met twice during the 6 months. We emailed back and forth. That way we didn't fight too much. And we put this thing together. And
wow, that sounds like a cool concept. Can I ask you, let me ask you one specific, then we'll go over some of the scenarios in the book. Here's the one thing that I do find, this is a tricky one for me. Well, my favorite founder, I believe, is John Adams.
Okay.
Because he keeps going into that room as they're putting the country together, and he keeps saying, hey, guys, we can't own black people. You know what I mean? The Yankee sort of pragmatism.
Yep,
what are we doing? Can we get that in the main document that we shouldn't own other people?
Yeah.
And they always bridle at that. Yeah. So I'm predisposed to dig Adams. Plus, he's a grump, which I kind of like.
Yeah, and he's like that in the movie.
Let me ask you this real quick. There is that thing where the Brits gun down guys in his hometown, and he defends them, and that always boggles my mind. That he could bring himself to do that. Now, I have friends that say that indicates his greatness.
Yep.
But, your thoughts? Because I look at it and I get pissed at him. And I just think, oh, for God's sakes, do you have to take it to that length where they cut down kids in the street with guns and you got to jump in and defend them? Well, some people say that's the essence of greatness. I'm befuddled on that.
Well, you know, you brought up two major points there. And I'd like to just touch on the slavery one first. In the book, Washington comes back, and one of the first things he notices is that the races are all together, and what a magnificent country it's become. I mean, could you imagine he comes back after all these years? He sees a GPS. He was a surveyor, right? He loves that. He loves the technology. He loves the people. He loves the women. But he really is drawn to that all the races are together, and they have to break the news to him that we fought a civil war. And actually, the Battle of Antietam was 150 years ago today, where half a million Americans were killed. And Washington, goes through a bit of a moral crisis in the book, where he said, you know, we did everything we could at the time. I mean, they set a time frame for the slave trade to end, but in some ways, you know, that you could say they punted it to the next generation, a lot the way that these current politicians are punting so many issues to the next generation, my kids, and hopefully grandkids will have to deal with. So, you know, that is a major concept in the book. Washington goes to the Lincoln Memorial, and he's looking at Lincoln's clenched left hand as he's sitting on his chair, and his eyes fixed forward, and he says, look at this man, look how strong he is, and look what he had to go through, and look what we left for him. But he also tells himself that if they had tried to put the country together and address the slavery issue right at that point, it never would have come
together. All right.
Slaves never would have been freed. On the other part that you talk about with Adams, I think I tend to agree that it made him a better person. He believed in justice, and he did what he thought was the right thing. And I don't think he was looking at polls at the time.
Yeah, but just as I watch that Baez guy trying to get Casey Anthony off, and I watch you know, Johnny, and they always say no, this is, and I never get that. I guess I just don't have that part of the antechamber in my mind that's wise enough to understand why, when soldiers, pigs, cut down kids in the street, you feel the need to rush in and defend them. But, like I said, I'm willing to concede that maybe I don't have that antechamber of wisdom or understanding of the Constitution.
It would have been, you know, we got into the minds of these guys as best we could. It would be nice to be able to ask them that question. That's why the new founders came back, so you can ask those questions.
All right, we're talking to the author, the co-author with Mike
co-author
Duncan.
Co-author with Mike Duncan, yep.
The book is The New Founders. You can find out more about it at thenewfounders.net. And by the way, Washington was very pleased to see that the races had come together, but he never smiled about it because the teeth, you know, the wooden teeth.
Oh, yeah, well, we addressed that, too. What are you going to do with this guy, you know? So he gets a makeover. He gets brought to a dentist, and, you know, it ain't a pretty sight.
It must have been weird. It would be weird for Washington to be kind of tall, but not like crazy tall like he was back then. Because when you take any tours of these old houses and see how big the door frames are, right, people were smaller back then, and he was a giant amongst men in many ways. But today he'd be just about, I don't know, regular, right? Wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was like 6'3".
Oh, he was? I'd still be tall then.
Like, yeah, he was bigger than most men are now, but he, like you said, he was a giant in his day, in every way, you know what I mean?
Let's talk about, spending. How does Hamilton, who's the big financial genius at the beginning of our country, and Madison, how do they view our $16 trillion?
well, you know what? Part of this thing was all the founders weren't on the same page all the time, right? I mean, they fought. They didn't like each other. I mean, pretty much no one liked Hamilton, except Washington. So, you know, Hamilton would have said, a national debt is good, but it can't get out of control. Madison said a national debt is a national curse. And so we addressed that, where these guys are debating these issues, and, you know, Washington is listening, and, you know, his view on this whole thing was the debt should be cherished and never used to excess. So, you know, we kind of got, that's how these guys came together on some of these ideas, where at the end of it, we would say that the debt is necessary, but it cannot be $16 trillion. And when you look at our total debt, is over $100 trillion when you combine everything. So, yeah, these guys would have been absolutely appalled. And people who say that Hamilton was sort of a, you know, the liberal of his time, the big government spending, he was a pauper in that way compared to the guys today. He was a piker. He didn't have he had no concept that this could grow like that. So, you know, it's totally disingenuous when people say that, you know, Hamilton would have been for this. That's BS. Hamilton also was in favor of a consumption tax. He thought it was much more fair for people to pay taxes they spent.
Wow, that was prescient. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and you know, in what we researched, they also said, but you can't make it too high, because if you make it too high, you're gonna actually reduce the amount of revenues that the federal government gets. So they were talking Reaganomics and the Laffer curve back 200 years ago, and that's one of the points here, that the 21st century Americans, we can solve our own problems, but they're outlined. They're outlined in these letters, they're outlined in the Federalist Papers, in the Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence. These guys faced all the same stuff.
Well, back then, though, it was not called the Laffer curve. It was called the Scoffer curve in the language of the day. Now, listen, folks, if you think this is a treatise on all this, it isn't. Let me read you the soup bone quote here, maybe the core nugget of the book. The book ultimately tells about a regular American family dealing with extraordinary circumstances. Jack Murray, a.k.a. James Madison, his wife and son, are thrown into an impossible situation. They come to terms with their true revolutionary identities, support George Washington, Washington under an alias for president in 2012, and try to keep their marriage and family together as they fight through living under the hostile media microscope of a presidential campaign while espousing our founding principles. What a great idea for a novel. And Joe Connor and his co-author Mike Duncan have put it together. The book is The New Founders. You can find out more about it at thenewfounders.net. And this has like some sort of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type movie feel to it. I swear to God, Joe, this sounds like somebody's going to option this. I wish you well on it.
Thanks, Dennis. I mean, and thanks for having us on. I'd like everyone to get in. You know, the thing about the book is it's on so many levels. It's about a family. It's about politics. It's about history. But it's inspiring. And you know what? It's fun. We have a lot of pop culture references. We have tons of music. We talk sports. You know, we kind of make the founders like real people. So when people might read this and say, you know what? My values aren't that different from these guys was 200 years ago.
Well, it sounds hip, baby. You can hear the music. I'm up against it. It sounds like Spock landing in latter-day San Francisco and getting all touchy-feely with the sperm whales.
Well, now you sold me on it.
Joe Connor, New Founders, newfounders.net, Dennis Miller Show.
This is the Dennis Miller Show.